This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We do have Justin Herbert out of the locker room, Mike Somich. He has a wrap on his left hand, and it looks as if, considering he has his helmet on and all of that, that he is going to be going back in the game. So it is not going to be Trey Lance season here for the Chargers. It goes back to Justin Herbert. Plain old boring Justin Herbert.
It clearly something is wrong, right? Because, like you said, he is on the sideline. He was walking, does have his helmet back on. Looks like three of his fingers are pretty heavily taped, so I would be surprised if it's not a broken finger or dislocated finger, something like that, on the non-throwing hand. Was taking snaps under center, was talking with one of the trainers about how it felt when he was taking those snaps. So it'd be interesting to see if they adjust the game plan at all, put him in shotgun more than they usually would, just to try and have as clean of a transition here from the center to the quarterback as possible. But that being said, Lance still out there. We'll see if he ends up in the game. But I'd be surprised
out,
if it's not Herbert soon.
Just tapped out. So there it is. Herbert's back in. Yeah, Herbert's back in. So he went in and just tapped out Trey Lance. So Trey Lance gets some snaps here on the season. There we go. A little Trey Lance action.
Moved them from like the 10-yard line to the 50-yard line here. 3rd and 4 set up for the Chargers as they try and extend their 7-0 lead. 12 minutes and 10 seconds left here in the second quarter with Herbert back in the game.
Yeah, he's doing, like I said, he's wrapped, and now they slipped like a wide receiver glove over it. So he's playing. He's not Teddy Two Gloves, but he is one glove.
Yeah, you can see the tape on the fingers as well. So they've got a finger to or glove to protect it, and then tape over the glove. So it's clearly some type of finger injury, it looks like.
So, Mike, I mean, again, we're just trying to watch these games and see if there's anything to take with us from all of this. And now I do understand that the Vikings defense brings the blitz a ton, and that's what Flores is known for and all of that. But Sam Darnold's been sacked 4 times in this game already. There is 5:21 left in the second quarter. Maybe something for us to keep an eye on.
Just sack fumbled.
Yeah, maybe
just
something
sack fumbled
for us to,
as well, as Minnesota now has the ball in the red zone.
So I think it's something for us to keep an eye on here, because there are people that are going to get this tape, and they are going to watch what Minnesota has been doing, and whatever it is confusing this offensive line.
Yeah, it is definitely currently working. They just showed a picture, a still frame of Justin Herbert running into the locker room, Matt. His ring finger on his non-throwing hand was not pointing in the correct direction when he headed into the locker room. So that is where this problem is occurring.
So we had a dislocation then, is what you're saying.
It looked like it was at the middle joint, not the bottom joint, which it has to be really painful. As someone who's broken a lot of fingers, like, that hurts it in and of itself, but that looked not look good. Gave me the willies.
So a 3-0 lead though for Seattle here. I mean, they were, you know, big double digit favorites in this one. We saw one double digit favorite lose outright today already in the Rams, and the Seahawks team struggling to keep Sam Darnold up. And then here we are, as you mentioned, inside the red zone for this Minnesota team, looking to get in the end zone. 4th and 1. I guess they're going to, I mean, you got to go for it. You're 4-7.
You better go for it.
You're
yes.
4-7. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You're 4-7 with your backup quarterback, third string quarterback. I guess Wentz technically was the backup. So Brosner's that's technically the third string quarterback, and you're on the road as a double digit dog. You have to go for it
there
here from your own 4 yard or from the Seattle 4.
O'Connell making the right decision. They stayed out there. I mean, hopefully this is a try to draw them off sides type of deal here. No. All right. They're going to run the play. Oh no. Oh no. Oh, Brosmer. Oh no. Oh no, Brosmer. No, the most Brosmer play ever. Oh my gosh. He's running backwards. He didn't just take the sack and tries to just throw an underhander and throws it right to the Seattle defense, who takes it all the way back for a score.
Oh,
Brosmer!
No.
What did you do? Why did you do that? Oh my!
Like
gosh.
I said, Matt, you got to kick the field goal there. Just take the points on the road as a double-digit dog with your backup quarterback. You never know what he's going to do.
A free runner on him, free blitzer, and he just starts running backwards. He runs. He runs 18 yards backwards, and then flips it underhand right to the defender, who then takes it back for a score. Oh, Brosmer.
Oh boy.
Oh.
Oh boy.
That is. Why
that
did
was
you
something.
Run? It's fourth. Why did you try to pass it? It's Rosmer. Why didn't you run it? Now that's it's something. Now it's a 10-0 lead. The floodgates are about to open in this thing.
I mean that is that's about as bad as it can get. I mean that like, oh boy, yeah. Just the underhand throw, like literally let it go without looking. So his back was turned to the end zone he was trying to score in, yes, and throws it around his body under his arm, right to, I think it's Ernest Jones who ended up catching it and taking it to the house there. But yeah, you're snapping the ball from the opponent's 4-yard line and you give up an 80-yard interception return for a touchdown. That's hard to do because you had to lose 15 yards before you threw it to give up an 80-yarder from the your own four, from their four.
Listen, Mike. That play right there made that game worth it. Like I'm, you know, it was, if this turns out to be a 45-0 blowout, I don't even care because that play made that game worth it.
I would like them to cut to Justin Jefferson's reaction to watching the replay of that on the big board. Cause Justin Jefferson walking off the field on the last third down looked frustrated when he sees that play and what actually happened. I can't imagine that he is in a good place right now.
So I, you know, with AI, Mike, you have no idea if anything's real or whatever anymore. But if this is real.
Are you saying that play was AI?
If this is real, it is so amazing. There's a photograph of outside the athletic department at Ole Miss, and it's a rack just full of clothes. And apparently like they're trying to say that they just put Lane Kiffin's clothes outside like on a rack and just left them outside on a rack. Again, you have no idea if it's real or not, but I mean, if it is awesome, great move by Ole Miss.
I mean, you think of when couples break up, right?
Yeah.
And the girlfriend throwing the boyfriend's clothes out the window. Classy move by Ole Miss to put it on a rack.
Yeah.
Like let's be honest. You could have just thrown it on the ground. So if you're Kiffin, you can't even be that mad at him.
Oh man. So amazing. I hope it's real. I'll put it that way. I hope it's real. I hope someone is not messing around. I want that to be real.
Again, if Kiffin had just said, I'm going to take the LSU job a week ago and we didn't have this entire train wreck of a 10 days for him. Do you wouldn't Ole Miss fans just be like, okay. Like not have this visceral of a response toward this everything that happened. Like if the stretching it out made this so much worse in Kiffin, for Kiffin.
The Raiders look to be excited about something.
Interception.
Oh, Herbert threw it to the wrong team. Maybe it is Trey Lance season
goal.
After all.
Yeah, get him out there. Lance hasn't thrown a pick yet this game.
No. The pass, yes, intended. That was just a really good play, actually. I mean, he shouldn't have thrown the ball, but I mean, that was a really good pick.
Just undercut it.
Yeah.
Yep. Undercut it, got his feet down. It was a little late, but yeah, an excellent play there by the cornerback. It's going to be Raiders football right around the 2-yard line. Maybe, yeah. I mean, because he definitely came out of the end zone with it and did have a foot that established possession in the field of play, not in the end zone, so it shouldn't be a touchback.
So after the Brosmer, we're just going to start calling that play a Brosmer. Whenever we see it, like for the rest of the season, we're just going to say he did a Brosmer. It is now 16.5 on the live line. In favor of the Seahawks with that 10-0 lead. The total has crept up to 32.5. And if you think the Vikings come all the way back, it is 13-1. I would not advise making that bet.
I mean, it's Seattle or pass at 16.5 or 16, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Brosmer experience so far, like it kind of makes you little gun shy. They got a turnover at their own, at the Seahawks 12-yard line. That started that drive that ended in the pick six. Like they're not going to get a bunch more opportunities like that to be able to start drives that deep in the Seattle territory.
Yeah. And I mean, and you would like to think that Seattle makes some sort of adjustment here with this offensive line, you know, and because again, Darnold's been sacked 4 times already in this game. You'd like to think that they figure something out, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You now know what's coming. You probably should have known what's coming before this. You now know what's coming. You mentioned this is the Sam Darnold game. You also would have to assume that like the Vikings defense understands how to stop Sam Darnold as well as anybody in the NFL after seeing him practice all year last year as well.
True.
So like you would think that the game plan was going to be good, especially early in the game here before you see the Seattle adjustments.
Oh man, I just watched it again. It's so good. It's so good.
It's kind of fun to watch.
It is. It's
such
so good.
A terrible idea.
Yeah, it's so good. Like I just keep watching it over and over. Every time it comes up on my feed, I hit play. It's so
like,
great.
Yeah, I'll take that one in again.
The Brosmer, man, that was something else. That was poetry in motion for sure. And actually, it was the you needed the like the Benny Hill music in the background, like ding 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 ding, whatever. Like, you know, like yeah, that was just unbelievable. But as we sit right now, 10-0 in favor of the Seahawks. In these other games, Buffalo is really struggling on the offensive side of the ball. And when Josh Allen has had someone open, hit Khalil Shakir on what would have been a third down conversion on their last drive, and he just flat dropped it. Mike, I mean, this is still a scoreless game, 13-50. In the second quarter here, and really the only thing to like is James Cook, who is averaging 5.4 per carry on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills as a team are averaging 6.2 right now. Cook 8 for 43, Davis 3 for 25. The problem's been the passing game. Josh Allen 3 for 7 with 24 yards and that interception. It just hasn't been a clean football game in any way, shape, or form for the Buffalo offense at this point. The defense, which has been a problem for Buffalo, has played very well to this point. They're averaging just 3 yards a carry. Aaron Rodgers 2 for 7 for 10 yards. really pretty disgusting first quarter on the offensive side of the ball for both these teams.
I was going to say, this game so far has been horrific, but Josh Allen does.
This was supposed to be our marquee late game, man.
Josh like Allen does find Cook out of the backfield, so they do move the ball there a little bit, but they've not figured out how to get the ball to their actual pass catchers.
We'll have to rank these games in entertainment at the half, because right now, going into it, this Buffalo-Pittsburgh game was supposed to be number one. I would be hard-pressed to find a more entertaining first half out of these three than what we saw there with that interception return for a touchdown by Brosner.
This Chargers player thinks that he picked it off, and I think they've already called it an incomplete pass, but, you know.
He's celebrating.
And also,
they just called pick.
He ran the wrong direction, for one thing, too. Like, he ran into the other end. Trey said
he did do that too.
Welcome back to Ready Set Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somage on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready Set Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. 10-0 Seahawks over the Vikings. And I was looking at the box score, and Mike Somich, you scroll down and you're like, okay, well that's interesting. Cooper Kupp, Cody White, Kenneth Walker, AJ Barron. Jason doesn't have a target in this game. There is 1 minute left in the half.
Yeah, if you had JSN and Justin Jefferson with zero catches in the first half for a huge plus money parlay, you are still live with 2 minutes left here in the first half. Well, the 39 seconds left in the first half here. JSN does get a target, goes incomplete though on that last play.
I willed it into existence, but yes, no target there. Over in the Raiders and Chargers, we did have Justin Herbert have to leave for a hot second. He is back in, 7 of 9 for 76 yards, though he does have a pick in this one down near the goal line. Geno Smith, 1 of 3 for 27 yards. Mike, 1 of 3 for 27 yards and an interception.
Someone on this show said the offense couldn't be worse.
I know.
I'm thinking, you know, Geno Smith's like, hold my beer, Matt.
Dude. So, I mean, we don't root for people to lose their jobs and all stuff like that. But, like, this has got to be a one-and-done thing with Pete Carroll in Vegas, right? I mean, like, you got to tear this thing all the way down. Geno Smith obviously doesn't have it anymore. They can't call a game. They can't do anything. I mean, you got to just tear this thing completely down, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, the goal this offseason, like, this was one of those, like, bridge quarterbacks and bridge coaches in Las Vegas. But you thought that you would have a better culture in the locker room, right? It has failed miserably. You don't have a bridge quarterback. You just have a statue out there in Geno Smith. You don't have a coach that can get you through 3 or 4 years here. You got to kind of just hit the reset button again in this offseason if you're the Raiders organization, because you're still a laughingstock organization, even though you thought that you improved in the two places you absolutely had to.
Ashton Jeanty has 4 carries for 7 yards. And so herein lies the thing where it's just, you know, You could say that Ashton Jeanty was the best running back since Barry Sanders, and it wouldn't matter for a team like the Raiders. And that's the thing, right? And that's why everybody was talking about the pick as much as they were, because if you don't have the pieces around, you can't really afford to take a running back that high. Like, this Ashton Jeanty on another team probably is got 1,400 rushing yards already or something, whatever. But it's just, it was it was never going to work with this iteration of the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a running back is like the icing on the cake for an organization. You don't just go and get a birthday cake that's just icing, because that's what you do when you go out and you get a running back, you draft them that high, right? You actually have to have the cake. You have to have the foundation for the running back to be able to work out. You have to have an offensive line that they can run behind. You have to have a reasonable coaching staff and quarterback and offensive coordinator, or else you just got a plate full of icing. There's nothing that it can stand on, and that's the situation Genty's found himself in.
Multiple cake references in the first hour and 15 minutes of the show here, Mike.
I was actually going to go present and bow there.
You had
but I decided
have
to go
your cake
icing
and eat
cake
it too.
Instead.
Yeah, you had a had your cake and eat it too reference earlier, and then it's a cake without icing and all. I mean, look at you. The holiday must have treated you well, buddy. Maybe that picture
I
isn't
have any cake.
Maybe that picture in the ad is indicative of what's going on over there right now. Like that, maybe it is.
That was taken of me on Friday morning after a Thursday of drinking and eating cake.
Oh man, 7-0 Chargers over the Raiders. Like I said, 1 of 3 for 27 for Geno Smith. It's just hard to have any sort of love for that game. And it looks like I'm pretty sure the penalty is not going to be on the Steelers. So it looks like the Steelers are in the end zone from the 1 yard line. So they will have a lead here on the Buffalo Bills, who, as I said, Jalen Warren into the end zone. So if you had an anytime touchdown there, first touchdown, whatever it might be for Warren, you can cash that ticket. They're going to take a 6-0 lead, extra point pending here, Mike, with a Buffalo team that is not found it on the offensive side yet.
No, they haven't. They've been able to run the football. It's just they've had plays that have given them – they've had negative plays that have stopped drives. It's just been a bad game from Josh Allen so far with one interception and not being able to effectively throw the ball to the outside to his wide receivers. So it's just not a shock. And then the turnover there from Cook when a fumble where didn't even really get stripped, just kind of dropped the football and then could have recovered it and decided to drop the football again. You see the Steelers recover it, and now they've been able to take it into the end zone. So a 6-0 with extra point pending lead for the Steelers here. Seahawks hit a 56-yarder off to end the half, well, to just about end the half. 8 seconds left there in the first half. Seattle 13, the Vikings nothing.
The extra point is up, and it is good. So it will be 7-0 there. Pittsburgh, again, they were 3-point home dogs here in this one to the Bills, who are down both of their starting tackles, and maybe that is what's going on here, Mike, though the tackles not being in there had absolutely nothing to do with James Cook just dropping the ball and then also not falling on the ball as well.
Yeah, so they can't really blame the tackles on that one there. 3.5 right now, the live line. Steelers -3.5. You can get Buffalo coming back the other way, +3.5. +150 on the money line if you think the Bills can come back. There is plenty of time in this game still. This one's going at a snail's pace compared to the other two. Still 8:09 left in the second quarter there in Pittsburgh.
Guys, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you can go in and take advantage of our AI projections that are over there right now. We've had them for the NFL for a while. We now have the NBA up on the site as well. Quarterback, running back, and wide receiver projections. Then over on the NBA side, points, rebounds, assists, and three-point projections. It's very tough to do these projections on your own in the NBA. It's a daily sport. You don't have time to do that, so let us help you out over there at VSiN.com. VSiN.com/subscribe for our Opta AI player prop projections. Mike, let's go circle back to one of the games from earlier. And if you take a look at kind of what we saw on the field from the Texans, you know, look, CJ Stroud, 22 of 35, 276 against this Colts team. This Colts team, of course, now we know Daniel Jones playing with a fracture in his leg and then lost Sauce Gardner early in this game to a non-contact injury. That is very scary, and I'm wishing the best for this Colts team. Obviously made that acquisition thinking that they were going to have a chance to make a run at it, probably far less likely if they are not going to have Sauce Gardner out on the field. But here the Texans are sitting at 7-5. I mean, it is... with that defense, and if Stroud can just play above league average, they could be interesting. I mean, they can't be worse than they were earlier in the season on the offensive side.
You asked me, like, I'm back to where I started, Matt.
Yeah.
I think the Texans are the best team in the AFC South. That defense to me is one of, if not the best in the NFL. I've been saying they're the best defense in the NFL for basically 15 weeks, 14 weeks, however long we've been doing this now, starting the preseason on the Houston side. The question has always been the offense. And we've seen late in the season, wide receivers start to step up. One of the problems with this Houston team was it was Nico Collins and nobody else. Now we're starting to see their rookie wide receivers create a little bit more on that side. We saw Higgins go for 65 today. Hutchinson added in another 39. Schultz had 55 as well. It isn't just Nico Collins and nobody. And if you have these other pieces in there, it makes this Texans offense a lot more frisky. We've also seen the move in the backfield that we talked about for weeks and weeks. Marks gets 19 carries here. Chubb just gets 9 carries. So Marks officially taking over this backfield. He looks like he gives this team more life as well. And then you look at the regression here from the Colts, and I think a lot of it is around the Daniel Jones injury. We've seen him really kind of struggle the last about month of the season. Now the information out that he has been playing through something. And Jonathan Taylor just not been as effective as what we saw early in the season as well. You put all of that together, I think the Texans are the best team in this division, and they still play the Colts again, so they still have that opportunity. The Jaguars, obviously, in this division as well. I still don't believe in this Jags football team. Maybe they'll make me pay for that at some point. But I think the Texans now kind of have reclaimed that mantle as the best team in the AFC South.
Yeah, I mean, you saw over the last couple of weeks, and now it finally came to light. Like, Daniel Jones has not looked the same as he did at the beginning of the season, and obviously we know why now. He has a fracture in his leg, and he's trying to play through it. But you saw it today, too. I mean, Daniel Jones can't afford to play through a fracture, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like he doesn't have the talent level to do that. And so you could see it today. I mean, he didn't have something. He didn't have enough on a couple of different throws. I'm sure it's hard to play quarterback with that, going on, with your leg and all the stuff like that. I mean, I think this Colts team is in real trouble, especially if this Sauce Gardner injury is anything severe.
Another 15-yard run from Cook here in Buffalo. Maybe we should just keep giving him the football, Bills.
Yeah.
Just a suggestion. If I gave you 100 Mike bucks, who are you betting in the AFC South? Jaguars plus 140, Colts plus 140, Texans plus 310.
I think I would go with the Jags. I think I trust them more than the Texans.
Mm.
I know the Texans show up every week with that defense, and that's real. But, I mean, the Jags defense, if you go by the numbers, is a top 10 defense.
Yeah, Texans do have to go on the road, take on the Chiefs next week. Then they have Cardinals, Raiders, Chargers, Colts to close out the schedule. You should be able to win at least three of those final four games, if not sweep them all and end the season there with the Colts at home.
First and goal for the Raiders? How is this possible?
He sounds shocked. I mean, shocked. Oh, it was Brock Bowers. Yeah, it was Brock Bowers.
Of
That's
course,
how it's
of course it is. 7-0 Chargers. We'll see if the Raiders can get on the board here. Maybe even tie this thing up when we come back. Ready, Set, Bet on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, appreciate you guys being with us here on a Sunday. I can't play what I just played for Mike Somich. I can't even read to you what I just played for Mike Somich, but I did retweet it if you want to go in and take a look at it at Matt Brown M2 over on the Twitter machine. Shelby Harris had some stuff to say about Juwan Jennings, and yeah, it's funny. It's good stuff. Yeah, definitely give it a listen.
Compared him to Lane Kiffin there. We'll just put it that way, right off the jump. Said he wasn't surprised about the punch that he took in a sensitive spot last week. Pretty interesting interview there. I'll give it two thumbs up. Got to check that one out. Big hit on Josh Allen after he slides. No flag. In Pittsburgh as Brock Bowers, shocker, into the end zone. And we're going to have the extra point pending here for the Raiders to tie this game up at 7. How good do you feel about that plus 10 now, Matt?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good about it. Honestly, I mean, it was 3 for 57 and a touchdown for Brock Bowers. What all we've screamed all year long when he's been in the lineup is like, he is a mismatch for every single human being there is. Just throw the ball his way a ton. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are never going to make the offensive coordinator or the head coach or whoever's calling plays mad if Brock Bowers ends the game with 12 targets. No one's ever going to tell you that was a bad decision.
Well, we scream to just spam your best players with targets, right? We've been joking about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. He got one target in the first half there. Justin Jefferson got two targets. Brock Bowers is in that same realm. I realize he's not a wide receiver. He's not going to have the same explosive plays downfield, but he should be getting looks consistently, like Trey McBride level, where it's 10 targets a game. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it just has not materialized this year in Las Vegas there with Brock Bowers getting the targets that he deserves. I just put in a live bet, Matt, so I want to throw this one out there in case anyone's interested. I took Ty Johnson over 20.5 receiving yards in the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game. He's the receiving running back for the Bills. Josh Allen has 10 attempts. Six of those 10 attempts now have gone to running backs. Johnson actually already has four targets for 16 yards on two receptions. 20.5 is way too low. He's going to get at least a couple more targets here in this game. So I'll take Ty Johnson over 20.5 receiving yards there in the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game in game.
Is it a weather game there in Pittsburgh? Like, what's going on?
Wind.
It is. So we do have wind.
Yeah, I have not looked at the updated one since we started the game, but heading into it, there were wind concerns, and they showed a couple of the clips before the game with Allen warming up, and you could see his overshirt just blowing aggressively in the wind. And that also leads toward more of these shorter targets toward running backs.
Yeah, because the reason I ask, right, is he has thrown five passes behind the line of scrimmage and one, two, three, four inside of 10 yards. He's thrown one ball further than 10 yards down the field this whole game.
Yeah, like you would think that the Kincaid then would also be getting targets here for this Bills team, but it's just not been a situation where Buffalo's been able to find their tight ends at all, which is a little bit surprising as you've got a decent set there. Only four targets so far to wide receivers, and you look at who in that wide receiver room. I'm sorry, Dawson Knox, not Kincaid. Kincaid's out for the game. But you look at who's in that wide receiver room right now for Buffalo, and it's Cooks, and it's Cooks, and it's Davis and Shakir, and it's just not guys that Allen necessarily trusts, and I think that's why we're seeing all these running back targets.
Yeah, it is. It's looking at Next Gen Stats, by the way, guys, is where you can kind of look this stuff up live and see just the depth of target for all this stuff. Five of his 10 attempts are behind the line of scrimmage in this game. That's just absolutely unbelievable.
Not seeing them stretch the field. And this is also, again, you mentioned it, missing two tackles with a good pass rush for Pittsburgh. Another reason why you're probably not trying to push the ball down the field 20, 25 yards at a time. So you have the wind factor, you have the offensive line issues. It kind of points toward these shorter targets, and that's what we've seen from Josh Allen so far in this game.
At the half with Seattle and the Vikings, we are currently, let me hit my little refresh button right here, we are 19.5 on the live line with a 30.5 game total, 25-1. If you think the Fighting Max Brosmers come back and win this thing.
Do we look at rushing attempts props here for Seattle?
You think that they just sit on it?
I mean, why would you not? Why? Yeah. Like, you have a defense that has created absolute havoc with Sam Darnold. You already have a one fumble sack. You had four sacks in that first half. You've seen them consistently get pressure. And you've got Brosmer on the other side who just cannot move the football whatsoever. You can get Kenneth Walker over 15.5 attempts right now. He has had six in this game, so nine attempts in the second half. Now, Charbonnet's had seven. Charbonnet, I don't currently see a number listed. To me, that would be how I try and attack this live prop action, is just running backs for Seattle getting touches.
Did we just have – yes, we just had a sack. It is second and 16. The Raiders get to Justin Herbert again that's just horrific offensive line that they have there for the Chargers. So we have a tie game. By the way, guys, a reminder, 21 of the remaining 49 entries in Survivor are on this Chargers team that are tied with the Raiders with a minute left in the first half. So, Mike, this could absolutely be the craziest week ever in the history of Survivor if the Raiders can pull this thing off.
Yeah, if we look at it from a Thanksgiving, so week 13A and week 13B, we could have started the week with almost 1,000 entries. I think it was 900 on the dot that we started the week with. We could end the week here with sub 20 If everything falls apart in the way that it possibly could. So just a crazy, crazy Survivor Week. Obviously, Grandissimo also just ends in 13A. We always talked, are we going to get to Thanksgiving? We got to Thanksgiving. We did not get past Thanksgiving in that contest, though.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, when we were here week number one with Derek and Jeff, the question we asked was, will we make it to Thanksgiving? The answer was, exactly, Thanksgiving. That's exactly how long this contest went, and that's how far we made it. And, you know, again, congrats to the six people that are going to split the $6.9 million. It's going to be nice to get a big fat check for $1.15 million for sure. I'm sure that's not the way that, you know, obviously not the way that they wanted it to end or even that we wanted it to end, but that's what Survivor is, right? I mean, you go until you lose, and if everybody loses, then the contest is over. That's just the way that that's the rules. Them's the rules.
It's funny how we had a $1.5 million guarantee on that contest, and a lot of people wanted to get in for the shot at $6.9 million. As that pool grew, we saw more and more interest in the contest. The six entries all walk away with just less than $1.5 million, $1.15 each there to win that contest.
Third and 16. It is a complete pass to McConkie, but it's going to be a couple of yards short. I can't imagine they're going to go for this on their side of the field, so I think we're going to get a punt, but the Raiders have no timeouts, so it's going to be less than 30 seconds left in the first half whenever the Raiders get the thing back. I mean, you're 2-9, might as well just YOLO it down the field, right? Once you get it, what are you hurting Geno's stats? Are you afraid he's going to throw an interception? I mean, he's already leading the league in interceptions, so who cares?
That is true. I would be surprised if they do anything. Neither team has any timeouts, but I would expect you're just going to see them take a knee and head into the half at 7, being happy to be tied at this point in this game, in a game where you probably should not be tied, but you are walking into the locker room with a 7-7 game here if you are able to just field the punt.
Punt into the end zone, 20 seconds left. Yeah, they'll just kneel it. They'll just kneel it. Though it would be amazing for Geno to just throw a pick just because he can. You know, wouldn't it be great?
The Hail Mary
pick. Just, I mean, who cares? Go ahead. If you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, right? I mean, just like, you know, I mean, let's just do it. You know, let's go ahead and get it. Yeah. Get it done. Just talking about just do it. I mean, this Bills offense is doing absolutely nothing. We are sub 2 minutes left in the first half. They are still scoreless. And Mike, like you said, they're just going to keep it on the ground. That's where they're having all their success. And Cook might end up with 200 yards in this game.
Yeah, Cook already 15 for 71 in this game. Right now, your leading passer in the game is Aaron Rodgers with 48 yards. Josh Allen has 46. 25 carries already in the first half for Buffalo here. They've had their most success on the ground. I'd expect that's going to just continue here as we see Cook get another first down on the ground to set them up with first and 10 just outside the 10-yard line.
The live line, Chargers and Raiders, as we go to half, just 5.5. This Chargers team went off, remember, at 9.5 in this one. It had gotten as high as 10. They are just 5.5-point live favorites in this one with a total of 33.5. And the Raiders, to win this thing outright, is only plus 240. So the algorithm is not impressed with what we've seen from the Chargers.
I am not either, Matt. It's an offensive line that had been giving up just boatloads of pressure every single game against the Chargers pass rush and defense that have been playing very, very well. And we go into the half here, and you've got two sacks right now for the Chargers after we saw this Raiders team give up 10 last week to the Cleveland Browns. And really a stagnant day for this offense on the Chargers side outside of the first drive. We saw them go 14 plays for 71 yards on the first drive. They had another 14 play 91 yard drive that ended in an interception. Had just run 7 plays outside of those two drives.
We are going in the second half over in Seattle. We'll keep you guys updated there as the Seahawks hold a 13-0 lead over the Minnesota Vikings, and a little bit of time left here before the half in Buffalo and Pittsburgh. We'll see if Buffalo can punch it in as well. Don't go anywhere.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich, as They have tracked down Lane Kiffin. Marty gets a microphone in his face, and he was talking about what's going on. 7 years, $12 million per year. And, of course, Mike, that comes with him being able to bring any of his coaches that he wants to. He'll get some other endorsements while he's down in Baton Rouge. He's going to be living by the way, $12 million a year down in Baton Rouge goes a long way. So he's going to have a nice house. He's going to have some acreage. There's going to be he's going to have probably a pond in his yard, you know, all the stuff like that. Maybe a tennis court.
So $12 million, 7 years. So when he gets fired in 3 years, he's going to have a $48 million buyout. Is that what I'm hearing? That's what's that number?
Yeah, basically. Something along. Dude, I know. I mean, it's unbelievable, but it is official. And now we're getting all of the talking heads come on and talk about everything with all of that. And you and I were kind of saying, like, you know, could you coach it? I did think of one reason maybe why you couldn't is because you need someone to be actively recruiting, and you don't get that at either place if he is coaching out Ole Miss as a lame duck coach. So, like, there's no one at LSU actively recruiting to bring players to LSU, and there's also no one at Ole Miss recruiting players to come to Ole Miss. So, like, you basically have two different schools that have nobody going out and doing the job that you really need to be done, which is get players to the school.
Well, I bet Kiffin would still be actively recruiting LSU, though he was coaching in the playoffs.
That's why you don't want him.
Ole Miss, I could see your issue.
Yeah.
Kiffin would be like, nah, bro, like we'll be fine in the playoff. I'm going to go ahead and make sure I start stacking the cupboards there in Louisiana. Going to be interesting to see who Ole Miss's next coach is, because it is a better job than it was 5 years ago, but it is still a middling job in the SEC. So I'll be interested to see who they can pull in if they try and go for someone like Lane Kiffin, who has had success but is a reclamation project, or they see what they can do and try and pull in one of these smaller school coaches.
Ooh, so what is going – this is a big flag right here, whether this is going to be a false start or offsides, because it was 4th-and-3, and it's going to be
interesting.
It was 4th-and-3 for the Bills, they're going to have to kick a field goal now, Mike.
Yep, and it was 4th-and-3 from the 4. So a offsides would have only given them 2 yards. So it would have still been 4th-and-1, but a 4th-and-1 with Josh Allen, much more manageable than a 4th-and-3, right? But now pushing him back 5 yards is going to set up a 4th-and-8, and they will likely kick the field goal here with 55 seconds left in the half. Neither team with a timeout here either, Matt. So you could have seen Buffalo actually go for that versus just trying to draw the offside, because Pittsburgh would have had the ball on their own 4 with 55 seconds and no timeouts had they not been successful.
You and I have as many catches and yards as the leading receiver in the NFL does. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 0 catches for 0 yards at the 10:23 mark of the third quarter, which, by the way, Seattle has to settle for a field goal, and it is still just a couple extra points. I mean, like, this has been far from dominant for the Seattle Seahawks, considering that one of their touchdowns was a defensive touchdown on the Brosmer.
Yeah, well, it's been – they're up 16-0. They've got 3 field goals and 1 touchdown.
Yeah.
So that was the only touchdown, was the pick 6 there on what was a 4th-and-1 from the Seattle 4-yard line. So just a very odd scenario where you end up with a touchdown there. Right now, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Matt, 25-plus yards plus 100.
Yeah.
Can he get to 25? The problem is the game state also says they probably don't throw the football all that much. And when they have thrown the football, Sam Darnold has been under constant duress.
We're seeing things here with a lot of teams in the NFL, Mike, where there are cracks and warts on, I guess, just about every single team. And I mean, you know, we see the Rams lose today. Some people are going to dismiss that and say, well, it's on the road. It's a letdown spot. You know, you're looking past the Panthers and all of that or whatever. The Panthers beat them today. Like, the Panthers beat that Rams team. Bryce Young made throws when he had to make throws, and the defense did not stop Bryce Young when he had to make those throws. I mean, like, they beat the Rams today.
Yeah, 2 big fourth down plays, but 2 very good throws on fourth down that resulted in long touchdowns for the Panthers team. I love the aggressiveness there on 4th-and-short to say, you know what, we're going to go up top. We know you're going to stack the box to try and stop the run. We'll take our chances, see if we can make some big plays. Stafford had a couple picks. One of them returned for a touchdown, the other in the red zone on a deflected pass. Also had a fumble as well, so just not able to take care of the football, and Carolina able to make plays. And when you combine those two things, you're going to get a loss, even if you do have the superior team on paper. I'm all like, I keep talking about Justin Jefferson, who also, by the way, has 0 yards in this game, Matt. He looks so frustrated out there. Brosmer just airmailed him again, and he just like standing there shaking his head, just unhappy as all can be. Like, this is going to be a mess here in Minnesota if this continues to happen.
Yeah, and it looks as if the Seattle defense was trotting to the end zone, so it looks like there was a turnover there. Yeah, that is it. It's messy there in Minnesota for sure. You know, Mike, I don't know how you fix it too, but you spent the first round pick on JJ McCarthy. You're kind of married to him at least next season. You know, you got to at least give him one full season to see if he's any good or not. We might be in for like a kind of a 3-year reclamation project there in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably drafting a quarterback if I am if I'm Minnesota here this year. You're 4-7. You're about to be 4-8. If Brosmer or JJ McCarthy is starting, I don't have high hopes for this team moving forward this season. You're going to get a top 10, top 12 pick. Kind of feels like you just try again because you have all the other pieces. This isn't a team that's missing anything outside of the quarterback position, so you might as well just buy another lottery ticket. See if you can strike gold on this one and see if you can get a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, it is just, it's for a team last year that was where they were and to be where they are right now, it's almost as if you can't fathom that would happen so quickly.
It is wild. Yeah. But it's all like, it shows how important the quarterback position is in football. And people who are like, well, Sam Darnold's not that good. He's a lot better than these dudes. Like let's just be real. Like, he's a lot better than the guys that you have playing. He's a professional quarterback at this point in his career. You do not have a professional quarterback on your roster right now if you're the Minnesota Vikings.
Guys, it is the holiday season, and we have partnered with Omaha Steaks to help you out. So go in. They have some gift packages that you can take advantage of, and then we have an exclusive where you get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more. And if you go to VEASAN.com, if you go to omahasteaks.com/VEASAN, you also get 50% off site wide as well. So go in, take advantage of all these gift packages, and take advantage of the 16 free smash burgers whenever you order $129 or more. omahasteaks.com/VEASAN, omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. Please see the site for additional details. It was a fumble by Minnesota. They'd actually gotten down to the red zone there against the Seahawks, but it does not matter because the Seahawks take over here. They're going to win this game, Mike, and they might even cover this game, but it's strictly because of the opponent that they have here. This Seahawks team has not looked good so far. I would like to see something out of them here for the rest of this game to give me a little bit more confidence in, again, a team that you and I both have in our top five.
Yeah, like I hear what you're saying. They have not handled the blitz very well.
No.
To me, that's the main issue here, is just what we've seen from the offensive line, trying to figure out and diagnose the blitz here from Minnesota. But like I said earlier, this is also probably like Flores as a defensive coordinator is a very difficult matchup, let alone the fact that you are known to be a limited quarterback. Sam Darnold's a professional quarterback, but he's still limited. And you are now facing a defensive coordinator that got to see you in practice for a full year and knows exactly where those limitations are. Feels like we are seeing the Minnesota defense really be able to put their finger on that pressure point every time Darnold drops back to pass. And the running game has not been all that successful for Seattle. So we'll see what they can do here to try and get this thing going. But I'm not shocked by this performance from the Seattle offense right now.
9 of 19 for 81 yards, no touchdowns, and 4 sacks for Sam Darnold in this game so far. And again, the only touchdown being a defensive score on the Brosmer that we had a little bit earlier. So it is just a lot for me to try to unpack here. And when I rewatch this one, because there are going to be some teams to study this tape and try to replicate what the Vikings have done today against this offensive line.
There will, but there on 1st and 15, we see them run a basically tight end screen. So let the pressure come, dump it off behind. They end up getting 12 yards on that play. I think you're going to see some of these adjustments where it's like, okay, you want to blitz, that's fine. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a wide receiver screen to Shaheed or something like that, which allows to get players in space and avoid that quick rush.
So we have started the second half over there in LA. Again, this is a 7-7 game between the Raiders and the Chargers. 5.5 is your live line there in that one. 33.5 is your live total, and plus 260. If you think the Raiders can pull the upset here, and honestly, they've kind of gone toe-to-toe with the Chargers so far.
Yeah, Chargers had those two nice drives to start the game. One of those ends in a turnover, and we've seen the Raiders be able to move the football when they give it to Brock Bowers. To me, that's the key. Do you keep throwing to Brock Bowers or not here? Because that's who you should be getting the football to, Las Vegas.
Ooh, right out of the gate, Herbert tries a deep pass and misfires pretty badly. We will keep you updated on everything going on out there. Take a look at Sunday Night Football. We got Monday Night Football, and maybe some of these lines will start populating for week number 14.